Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in Inside Carolina Live. Inside Carolina, Thursday night, 9 o'clock, YouTube show. Shout out to the 40-plus people already in here, and shout out to Johnny T-Shirt, johnnyt-shirt.com, for sponsoring this show as well as all the rest of Inside Carolina's podcast lineup. All right, boys, Thursday night, North Carolina Duke women's basketball is on ESPN or ACC Network. I got, and John will keep us updated on the score as we go through. But, Ross, come to you right away. North Carolina win against Boston College, State coming to the Smith Center, which I think is a good thing for the team. But State Carolina week, man, what you think? Where's Carolina basketball right now?
Yeah, big game this weekend. I think it's a big one. I mean, I think State's a lot better than people expected. They're in the top part of the ACC, just like UNC is, and this will be a big game to see where the teams stack up. You know, I think UNC's had two easy opponents the last two games, Louisville and Boston College, and they kind of took care of business there, dominating Louisville. And then, you know, I think Boston College stayed around a little longer they would have liked, but putting them away eventually in the final – minutes, and it's a big one. It's gonna be crowd. I think it's gonna be the best crowd they've had all season. I think that'd be fair to say. It's gonna be hyped up. It's a great time for families and stuff. So I think you'll have a packed Dean Dome for the first time this season, and I'm excited to cover it. It should be a good one. Adam, what do you think? Big game, right?
Just note, definitely a big game. I think it's a huge game. Noticing the comment from John Grisham over there about your haircut, Ross. He's very observant.
There you go.
Yeah, he's all over it. Yeah, I think it should be. I think it should be a look at that. I still don't know how to do that.
From famous author,
it's probably John best. It's probably best you don't know how to do it. John Grisham,
real John Grisham too, right?
Best-selling yeah, absolutely. Author. I think we need to get autographed books all around. We could sell those, John Grisham. Go ahead, Adam.
I don't know why, but it has been rattling around in my head for a couple days when I was thinking about Carolina playing NC State. When I randomly noticed the Wolfpack. Terquavion Smith and Jerkiel Joyner, his backcourt mate, who are saying, I believe they beat Coppin State this year. I don't know if producer John can look that up, but I caught them on TV saying, we're the best backcourt in the ACC, bar none. And, someone actually said, so some reporter there after that game, it might have been in Reynolds, it might have been the Heritage game in Reynolds they play every year. Said, well, you know, there's Caleb Love and RJ Davis over at UNC, and they were just like, yeah, we're going to prove that we're better than them. I don't know why that popped in my head, but I was thinking, like, you know, there could be points of plenty there at the Smith Center on Saturday, the way the Wolfpack scores. And, of course, UNC is the top scoring team in the ACC.
Sherrell McMillan on the post game after Boston College said defense optional on Saturday, late Saturday afternoon, early evening in the Smith Center. And I agree with that. I mean, look, NC State, what'd they lose, 22 games last year or something like that? They're a pretty good team. And
they've won more ACC games already than they did last season. I think they only had 4 ACC wins, and they're 5-3 like UNC, right? I think both teams are 5-3.
They're 5-3, 15-4. They're on a 4-game winning streak, too.
They've won 7 of their last 8. They're 7-1 across their last 8.
Yeah, I think they're a pretty good basketball team. Go ahead, Rose.
They beat Duke, Virginia Tech away, beat Miami in overtime, and Georgia Tech the last 4 wins. They're only – their two losses, or see, sorry, they lost to Pitt, just like UNC. They lost to Miami, and they lost to Clemson. So, yeah, they're on, like Adam said, they've won 7 of the last 8, that one game being Clemson. So they haven't done much losing since early December. So they're one of the hotter teams in the ACC. I think I heard them on the radio today, too.
Do you see Coppin State on there, Ross, when you're looking at their schedule?
Yeah, they played Coppin State on December 6th and won 94-72.
Was that the Reynolds Heritage game they play every year at Reynolds Coliseum? I don't know why this is. I guess it doesn't matter. But
it was at Reynolds.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay. Was. I think that's the game where they got on the mic. I don't know if it was a JB Ricks Spectrum News situation, but they were talking. They were feeling good, and they're good players. I mean, Turquavion leads the ACC in scoring, obviously. So I don't know. I don't know if anyone has anything for Armando down low when he's playing the way he's been playing. So I don't know if NC State does. It's kind of why I thought winning in Charlottesville would be a tall task, but for some reason I thought Carolina was going to do it. I didn't think Virginia had an answer for Armando, even though they have the bigs there. So anyway, I don't know if the Wolfpack does. We'll see.
I want to bring up John Kramer's comment here. He says, break out of the slump game for Caleb. He has 21-5-5. To me, Tommy, that's kind of the story of where UNC's season is right now. I pulled some numbers to illustrate this. On long three-pointers in January, so three-pointers from 25 to 30 feet outside the rim, Caleb Love in January is 4 of 22. That's 18.2%. That's very bad. Meanwhile, his backcourt teammate, RJ Davis, he is 8 of 11 on those same long three-pointers. He is 72.7%. That is insane to me, honestly. There's been such a divergence between how Caleb Love is shooting the basketball specifically and how RJ Davis is shooting the ball. We talked a little bit about RJ's strong shooting last week on the show, but I think any mention of Caleb Love's poor shooting has to be followed up immediately with how well RJ is shooting the ball. And one final stat, it's interesting because in December, the numbers were flipped. Caleb was shooting 47.8 on those same type of three-pointers, and RJ was shooting 21%. So it'll be interesting to see if that kind of evens out as the season goes along, if Caleb can catch fire like John Kramer suggested. But that, to me, is kind of the biggest storyline of the season where we're at right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to play, talking about Caleb, he's got to play better. At times he does other things. He had 5 assists in the first half the other night, but then he didn't have any in the second half. He gets in those modes where I'm going to get mine one way or another. You know, somebody made the comment, and I was about to bring up Sherrell. Sherrell and I talked about this, is RJ is playing with so much confidence, and it shows he's healthy. Hubert mentioned that earlier this week on the ACC teleconference. He's finally healthy from the hand injury. And if you're a shooter and your hands hurt, I mean, you know, that's going to affect you. But Love doesn't look like he's having much fun, except when the ball goes in the basket. And I think that's an issue. I, you know, one thing about it is he's got the greenest light in the history of North Carolina basketball, I think. And Hubert Davis loves him. And rightfully so, simply because if he does not play well, Carolina's not going to do what they did last year. They might not get a chance to do what they did last year. But, John, to your point, RJ has really stepped up. And, Ross, I want to get you in here because RJ's – I think we kind of overlook RJ because we spend so much time talking about Caleb Love. I mean, is that fair to say, or am I just misremembering the coverage?
I would say that RJ gets a little bit forgotten just because he's played his whole career with Armando and Caleb, and even Leakey, you know, gets a lot of conversation. But RJ Davis, I think, is the second most important player on this team. Like we've noted, he's been shooting great from three, great from long twos. I mean, he's been scoring at the rim. I thought he really scored at the rim well last year, taking it to the basket, especially in the second half of the season, especially against Duke. But he is he's been fantastic. And you know, when he shoots the three, you almost think it's going in. He had that pump fake, the defender went flying, he knocked it down. So he's hitting transition threes. You're seeing a lot more of that this year, which are hard shots to make when all your momentum is going one way, knocking down transition threes. But I think he's been fantastic. I think he's been clutch, and I think he's second most important player of this team. I think Caleb could go out, and I think they wouldn't miss Caleb as much as they would miss RJ, in my opinion. Adam, what do you think?
The way they're playing right now, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, and to what – that's an interesting comment that we put up earlier about what Sherrill said. I agree in watching Caleb when he shoots a three and even when he's on the line. You remember how automatic of a free throw shooter he was at the end of last season? I got the notes here, but I haven't looked it up. I mean, he has missed a couple free throws. He might have gone 0-for-2 in one trip against BC the other night. And he was automatic at the end of the season last year. He wanted to get fouled. If you felt like they got the ball in at the end of the Duke game in the Final Four, you know, he hit a ton of free throws. But you do, you know, when you watch this team as much as we have, you do feel like he's guiding it, you know, trying to guide it in a little bit. He's had a couple of those open, you know, step into it threes off an offensive rebound or open court situation, and they haven't gone down. So, yeah, Ross, I'd have to agree with you right now because I think RJ's playing lights out too. And
you know what's crazy? RJ could be a five-year player. We could have him for 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, the guy's barely 6 feet, if that, you know, like, I just always thought that Hubert always talks about playing with pace. I've always just liked the pace that RJ plays with. I feel like he's great coming off those pick and rolls where he decides whether to slip a pass in there or keep the ball moving. He's playing really well right now.
Yeah, you're listening on the Beat Live basketball women's update. Carolina's up 29-28. In a brutal shooting basketball game, but it's pretty intense out there in Carmichael, and it's packed. You mentioned Reynolds earlier, Adam. They should play a men's game in Carmichael every year.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I mean, and last time they did it was Wofford, and I think that's when everybody was out, and they lost to Wofford, but yeah. Nothing beats Carmichael.
That Wofford game, they had some walk-on who played a lot.
Jeremiah Francis started because it was the first game Cole Anthony was out, I think.
Yeah,
and then wasn't Baycott out too, or somebody else was that? Yeah. It was just brutal.
They played out.
Murphy was playing at Wofford. The guy who transferred to Virginia Tech, Storm Murphy, was the Wofford point guard then. Ross and I covered that. I remember us taking a selfie up top, Ross. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, my Lord. That was where the love affair bloomed. let's talk about, and the name's popping up in the chat, and I think, you know, I say we sometimes forget about RJ, but DeMarco Dunn has looked good to me this year. And quite frankly, I figured he would be in the Dontrezz Styles role this year and would be out the door as soon as possible. And he's certainly flipped that script, and people comparing him and Trimble and all. I think Dunn's your best guy off the bench at the moment, Adam. What do you think?
Couldn't agree more. I mean, you saw how glowingly I went in on DeMarco after they played Louisville. I beaten a team that hasn't won an ACC game. Let me write 1,200 words of DeMarco Dunn. I think the way it's constructed, what would you say? That DeMarco and Puff would be your top two options off the bench? And
they come in together, it seems, sometimes.
You know, I don't know where Jalen Washington slots in there, but, yeah, I mean, you know, DeMarco, you know, he's got some long arms on him, too. And I feel like, you know, you've seen lately – he gets a running start sometimes on the offensive boards, and he is up there above the rim. That was me again. He's up there above the rim. But he was vital. I mean, there's no way UNC should have been losing at Louisville, and I'm sure that game would have worked itself out. But he was vital in getting Ella Ellis slowed down last Saturday because he had scored 11 of Louisville's first 15, and he was cooking RJ and he was cooking Caleb. And Hubert was pretty hot with both of those guys early on. And then they put DeMarco Dunn on him and he slowed him down. He can really move for 6'3 or 6'4, pretty athletic guy.
Yeah, I think he's athletic. I think that's what really stands out to me. I mean, he flies in for rebounds. You know, he seems he has a little bit more explosion than some of the other players on the team. You know, he's kind of forgotten. Like, you know, we didn't talk about him at all in the preseason. I think we even, John, when Adam and I recorded those preview videos, we even didn't do one on him, I think, because I was just like, you know, how much is he really going to play? So it kind of shows you how forgotten he is. I'm not sure I've ever talked to the guy. So it's good. It provides more depth at the guard position. He could be a guy who competes for a starting job next year. And it's good to have someone to come in for at that guard spot. He has a little size, like Adam said, and the athleticism they need. I think UNC needs more athleticism. They haven't recruited athleticism, I thought, in a while. Like, I'm trying to think of the most athletic players in the last couple of years. I'd put Caleb up there, but outside of that, I can't really think of anyone. I think Seth is definitely one now, too. So,
Nasir Little, is that too far back?
He was Nasir and Kobe were pretty athletic.
Dontre Styles is athletic, but
he is
mired on the bench.
There was a moment in that Louisville game that I starred in the old notepad where they got out on the break and DeMarco threw a very sweet bounce pass up ahead to Dontrez and Dontrez dunked it. I was kind of like, you know, it's kind of like how DeMarco and Dontrez were linked together last year. You know, DeMarco, Dontrez, Dontrez, DeMarco. You said one, you always said them together. But I was like, dang, you know, when you bring guys like that in off the bench, I would like to see UNC run more. You know, they're fresh. You know, you got fouls to give. Go take some risks, you know, for steals and things like that.
Have we gotten to the point now where they're using the depth more? They're using the bench more? Is Hubert leaning more on that bench than it was at the beginning of the first 15 games?
Well, they have had to, obviously, with the Pete Nance injury and Armando obviously getting hurt at UVA. And I had a note leading into the BC game. I figured up a thing. It was kind of cool where, let me see, Puff, DeMarco, Jalen Washington and Seth Trimble all had scored either season or career highs in the four games that preceded BC. So you kind of had a guy hitting like his best mark ever in the four games leading up to the BC game. Then the BC game, Pete Nance came back and nobody did anything off the bench. So, you know, it was trending that way. I think, Ross, they had averaged 22.7 points off the bench leading into BC.
Somebody mentioned in the chat, one thing in the chat, and we've talked about it, if you listen to the post games and you listen to this show and other shows recently, Hubert Davis is pure NBA, hot hand / matchup substitutions. It's not, as Greg Barnes said before, it's not like at the 16:38 minute mark, Puff Johnson is coming in for somebody. You know, it doesn't work that way under Hubert. And what's interesting, and Greg and I recorded Next Level with Evan Mayakawa earlier today, and it'll be out tomorrow. Folks need to check out his website, and we talked about it a little bit. Look at the lineups and which is the most effective lineup for North Carolina. Granted, substitutions in lineups is a very small sample size with Hubert Davis, but DeMarco Dunn, Seth Trimble's name, they show up a lot in place of somebody. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was going to make one more point about Dunn before we shifted off of him. I think it's important to mention he's very efficient. And said another way, he doesn't need the ball in his hands. So when you look at someone like Jalen Washington, his percentage of possessions used, percentage of shots taken while on the floor, it kind of rivals the usage level of like an Armando Bacot or Caleb Love. Essentially, Jalen Washington is shooting the ball a lot, but DeMarco Dunn doesn't really need the ball in his hands all that much. His percentage of possessions used is 11.8, which is lower than any of the starting five. Yet he's really efficient. He scores at a pretty good clip. He shoots it at a high percentage. He gets to the free throw line. So that's another really valuable thing that you get from Dunn. He's a guy who can come off the bench, but he doesn't need the ball. He doesn't need to eat up a bunch of possessions to get his shots and his points.
I'd almost like DeMarco to shoot more. He doesn't play too much, but he's only shot 20 threes. He's made 9, so it's a really high clip. As John was talking about, I think he's 45% from 3. I mean, if he can be that be a perimeter threat, knock down two or three threes per game. That would completely change what this team looks like, especially now when Caleb's a little bit of a slump. Be great to see him. I think DeMarco, he's not. I mean, it adds a whole different element when he's knocking down a couple threes per game.
We're talking about the lineups. How about this one? You would have to really have watched the I see YouTube videos from the Louisville game to pick up on this one, but about fell out of my seat when Hubert said after the Louisville game that he had toyed with putting Leaky at the five. You know, he didn't say this, but the way I took it to mean was if they weren't going to have Armando, which he didn't think they were going to have, and they weren't going to have Pete, they weren't going to have those guys, instead of trying to go big, you know, find the big guys to guard Sidney Curry and those guys at Louisville, they were just going to go super small. They were going to go four guards and Leaky at the five, 200-pound Leaky Black. So I was like, you know.
Roy Williams would never, you know. It's like completely different
right.
style.
Right. I mean, you got to do what wins. I don't mind if I'm not sure about Leaky at the five, but I don't mind the four-guard lineup if you include like Leaky would have been the point guard for Louisville on Sunday or Saturday.
Roy wanted him to play point guard.
Yeah, that was the goal at first.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he was in high school, everybody was like, "Oh my God, Magic Johnson, 6'9" point guard." And we see how those mixtapes work. But very effective either way, and certainly can play the guard role. To your point, Adam, to be that four guard deal, and with him. So we talked about DeMarco, who I think is very important. Is Seth Trimble? Let me ask y'all this, and y'all talk to him on the regular. Seems like a great kid. He's a dog on defense. Ross, he seems pretty shy to shoot it when he's out there. He gets into the lane where he probably could take a shot. What's going on there? He's just trying to get a feel of the game or trying not to screw it up or does he know his role, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't – you're talking about three-point shots? I mean, maybe he just kind of understands his role. He's a freshman. He's not going to be the main offensive threat when he's on the court. He's only shot five threes. I think he kind of understands that right now he's not a three-point shooter. I think it was some video of him going around of him working on his shot after the Boston College game. But, yeah, you're right. He doesn't really shoot that much either in the mid-range, a little bit more at the basket. And maybe that's just him understanding his role, that he's not the offensive threat. There's other guys who – would probably make the shot more than he would. And he hasn't played as much now that you have DeMarco emerging and you have Pete Nance back in, which kind of switches the whole use of the bench. But you're right. I mean, he adds a athletic element to this team, and he embraces defense, and he can lock down the other team's perimeter shooters. So he is a unique player for this team. But you're right. I don't think it's just not there for him. And look, good for him for not forcing it. If he doesn't, you know, feel like he's comfortable shooting right now, but when him and Leaky are on the court on the perimeter, it's like, who's going to shoot in this lineup? That's what's really scary. Like because Leaky can hit it, but he's just not a shooter. And so we have Seth and Leaky as two of your three perimeter players. It's kind of a scary proposition for UNC. They don't really have anybody who can knock down a three.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking as you were talking, you put Leaky and Trimble on Joyner and Terquavion Smith for NC State. That's a good matchup, but those guys are going to beat the defense. But to your point, who's going to score? And if you do that, then RJ and Caleb, if they're out there as well, if they're going super small, they better be hitting because NC State will find ways. You're listening to On the Beat Live. It's about 9:23 or so. Carolina is up 39-31. With 30 seconds left in the third quarter.
Nice.
This is a little behind, I guess.
Who's your favorite player, Adam? Who's your favorite player on the women's team?
Utsby. Doing the dirty work.
I like him. But I tell you what, I think Duke didn't score for the first 8 minutes, and Carolina was only up 10 or 12. Nothing. It was brutal start. Has picked up a little bit in the second half. Deja Kelly on the foul line now. She's about to make it 41-31. So, good results so far over there in Carmichael. What else? You know, Armando Bacot, we don't ever talk about him anymore either because he just continues to be a monster out there. Hey, a couple questions, and I didn't hear it. If y'all ask it, I didn't hear it asked. Is he healthy, Adam? I mean, that was a nasty ankle sprain against Virginia. And none of us thought he would play the next game, and he was out there. What's his health status?
Armando randomly told me. I was me and a little fellow from the DTH were over there last the other night to Armando, and the little guy let me get off like 7 questions in a row. I thanked him later. I was like, I'm sorry I hogged him. Armando randomly said, he goes, look, I'll be honest. I thought I was going to miss 2 or 3 games when he got hurt. I wasn't even asking him about that. Like, I guess he wanted to make sure we knew that he said when he got hurt originally at UVA, he was hoping he would be back for NC State. So, there's no way he was near 100% at Louisville, but, much like he said, when he checked back into the Duke game in the Final Four, he said, F it, you know, he wanted to play. He said after the Louisville game, he was thinking like, I might not ever play here again. And I love playing here because they boo us. So, you know, I was saying to Ross the other night against BC, the Tuesday night game, I thought he was moving pretty well. Like, I thought he, like, had some pretty good bounce to him. And that is one tough sucker, man. I mean,
yeah,
he is a tough dude.
I think he'll be remembered as one of the tougher guys, just how much he gets hit, all the fouls, and all the injuries he's gone through at the Final Four, a couple of injuries already this season. And he's got a couple of records coming up. Did you mention that, Adam, already?
I had not said anything about the records. No.
Adam said that Bacot told him that he wanted to get a bunch of rebounds against Boston College so he could break the rebound record against State because they play at Syracuse after that. He's going to break it in the next 2 games. He's 16 to tie, 17 to break it. He got 16 rebounds against Boston College. So if he gets 17 against State, he'll break it on Saturday in the Smith Center. Otherwise, he's probably going to break it at Syracuse because he gets 10 to 12 at first State and then another 10 at Syracuse. So that'd be one thing to definitely track. And then he tied Billy Cunningham, the double-double record at 60. So the next time he gets double-double, he'll break that record. So he's going to have 2 huge records. I think those are records that show consistency. They show, I think, rebounding is an effort. It's a 1-2 stat and desire stat. So it just shows you the kind of player he is. So that's pretty cool. I mean, he's going to – Adam, you were going through the numbers with me today. What's the – compared to Hansborough?
Oh, yeah, where Ross and I were talking about it today. Ross and I are good friends away from work, too, if nobody knew that. So we talk work and we talk, you know, life. But, you know, I was doing my I'm a very big nerd, and I was doing – you know, I'll just look this stuff up sometimes. But – as Ross and I were talking, I think it was, I don't know if Ross remembers the number. Yeah, Hansbrough played 142 college games and Armando has played 118. And so Armando has done this in less games than Hansbrough. Is that right, Ross? Do you see?
Yep. So he could break it in 119 games compared to the record set at 142 games.
He's gotten 16. He needs 16 to tie, as Ross said, and he's got 16 each of the last 2 games. At less than 100%. It was kind of funny. I was telling Ross where we were sitting at the Louisville game. We were beside some local radio crew that was just hilarious. And they kept saying, Bacot, the big man on the bum ankle scores again. Like, you know, in your biggest radio voice you can imagine, you know, like sounded like the 1950s or something. But the big man on the bum ankle.
Could you keep that energy up the entire show?
But yeah, and Ross and I were talking today too. The way I figured it out is he's averaging 11 rebounds a game. If he keeps it up at the pace he's on now, and they play a game in the NCAA tournament, which you would hope that they do, I factored in 2 games in the ACC tournament and 1 game in the NCAA tournament as sort of a baseline. He would finish 5th all time in the ACC in rebounding, behind only what is it, Dickie Hemrick, Ronnie Shavlik, and 2 guys named Tim Duncan and Ralph Sampson. If he kept it up, if he's getting 11 boards a game for the rest of this season. So
what were those first 2 names again?
Dickie Hemrick and Ronnie Shavlik. I think the Wake Forest, Dickie
Wake
Hemrick,
Forest and State.
There you go. Ronnie Shavlik's who Shavlik Randolph was named after. You remember? It was his granddad.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know.
Yeah. That. One thing about Bacot, and I'll say this and then I'll get out of the way for John to take over this show. Is Bacot, not physically, but he reminds me of Julius Peppers in this way. when I was covering when Julius Peppers played basketball, it was back when we used to get to sit on the floor, and Julius Peppers rolled his ankle so bad, he scuffed the top of his high top. And I was like, I would be dead, because it was back when I used to be able to play a little bit of ball, and I would be in the hospital or, you know, on crutches. And he didn't even flinch. And I asked him about it after the game. I was like, did you roll your ankle? He's like, yeah, I think so. Didn't even affect him at all. Baycott's the same way. I mean, Baycott did it. Remember his freshman year?
Oh, yeah.
After they played Oregon in the Bahamas, he was dominant. They go to, I believe, Ohio State, or maybe played Ohio State in the Dean Dome.
He was at UNC.
He rolls it to the ground, and he didn't even flinch. Now, it affects his athleticism a little bit, and obviously he was hurt last year in the Final Four. But that dude is a beast on the glass, but he's got some ankles made out of rubber. And it is fascinating to watch, and that's why he's going to set these records you guys are talking about, because he don't miss games. And in his entire career for Carolina, he can't. Because he's really the only guy. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I was going to end this segment too. Like, just think about his legacy. This is the legacy that he's leaving in Chapel Hill. I was sitting in IP3 the other day, and they had a cool graphic. I'll have to tweet it out, but it like showed the dean's list, and it looked like it cut off around 2009, 2010. So you kind of all the regular suspects that you would think are on that kind of poster or on there. But I think he's kind of like earning his spot on that list. Whether or not that means his jersey's in the rafters, I'm not sure exactly the criteria there. But I feel like just the way that he's played and the way he's carried himself, I think he's earned his spot on that list. Tommy, do we want to get an ad break in?
Yeah, Ross, do a Johnny T-shirt read, man. You haven't done it in a while.
Let me say one thing about Baycott. Yeah, so I think he is chasing the jersey to get honored. And I think his best chance will be ACC Player of the Year, which I think he's right there right now. I mean, T-Baby to Quavion Smith is up there. Who else, Adam? You watch more ACC ball than I do.
The Clemson other kid, Tyson from Clemson.
Yeah, P.J. Hall maybe from Clemson. Hunter Tyson from Clemson. Isaiah Wong at Miami. I mean, yeah.
So the key will be UNC keeps winning, but he's got every game. Like the Virginia game really hurts him because he played in it.
Yes.
So his per game numbers dip because he played 1 minute or whatever and didn't get any stats. And so it really affects the numbers that the common voter sees. So he's got you think he'd be pushing, you know, the double doubles to start rolling out here. And it's interesting to see how he chases after rebounds against State to try to break that record against State. So those are two things to keep in mind. He could also get second team All-American in a couple of different publications, and first team All-American would also get his jersey honored. Okay, Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. They're our sponsor as we look at the score here, 42-31. The UNC women are up 42-31. Johnny T-Shirt is our sponsor, sponsors podcast, all of Inside Carolina's podcasts, and appreciate their support. If you're getting sweatshirts, jackets, jerseys, T-shirts, hats, make sure you head to Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com to get your stuff. Right on Franklin Street, a local independently owned company. And if you are an Inside Carolina subscriber, you get the 10% off discount code. So head to the message boards, get the code, and then get 10% off your order. It's all on Franklin Street. They have great customer service. It's local. It's independent, just like Inside Carolina. So it's a win-win. So check it out. Johnny T-Shirt and online at JohnnyT-Shirt.com. A couple national ads. We'll be back with more UNC talk here on The Beat Live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount+, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome back. So on the beat live, Carolina, I believe it's Duke's got 33 now. We're talking about Baycott, and there's a lot of questions in the chat. So let's fire one up, John. But the main question is, how do you get him more shots? I think he had 11 shots against Boston College. Under no circumstances, and this is my opinion, and Adam, I want yours, and then you can and then roll to Ross and to John. Under no circumstances should he not lead this team in shots every night. I don't think. For the reason, because he's good. For also, Carolina's offense, when Baycott's on the floor, is just so much better than when he's involved. And it opens up everything else. Adam, fact or fiction, Baycott should lead the team in shots each night.
It's fact, but it's still fiction because, I mean, we all agree with you, but it's not going to happen because for several reasons. You know, they have some other guys that get some shots up. But also, you know, we all watch the games. Also, shout out George Jenkins in the chat. Appreciate you. You know, everyone doubles Armando for a good reason. So, you know, the way teams play Armando is they're going to try to get the ball out of his hands, and he has to sort of oblige them by dribbling out, passing out of the double teams. I mean, he's just not going to be able to score over the double team. He has figured out that running the court, which he's been doing well, and crashing the glass and just staying active. Here we go. There we go from the orange shovel, you know, or how he's going to do it. If a team – now, there were a few times BC decided that we're going to let Quentin Post, the big seven-footer, guard Armando one-on-one. If he has time – and you saw what he did. He didn't go over Post or through him. Ross and I were talking about, you know, he's driving around him. You know, he's driving around him for the left-handed layups and the reverse layups and stuff. But, you know, 75% of the time, he's facing double teams, and that's why he's passing out, and that's why we're talking about Caleb Love shooting, because the shots are there. So, obviously, if you got him 20 shots a game, you got to like that, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Might happen in an NCAA tournament when you start playing these teams that don't, you know, scheme up how to stop Armando for 4 days, but I just don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, Puff Johnson was the only true entry pass I saw against Boston College, and
they run their offense through him. They get it to him. They run the offense through him. But now that offense, I don't want to say predicated, but is somewhat dictated on knowing he's going to get doubled and him making the right decision to get it out of the double team and keep it moving. So. I mean, everything that he does is about hard work, in my opinion.
I agree with that. I mean, you see him on the defensive glass especially. He's not watching the ball. He's going to get where the ball is going to be. And you know, there was a fight on the message boards about Jeremy Sochan about from Baylor that's now in the pros doing the same stuff he did. And how you get rebounds, and they talked about Rodman. When the ball goes up, Rodman's not watching the ball. He's trying to find where the ball's going, and that's what Baycott does. That's what R.J. Davis does, quite frankly. But Ross, just sort of to close out the Baycott discussion here before we move on to more questions, I mean, Hubert wants it to go through him, but is he happy with 11 shots when his guards get 16 to 18 each?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to be shooting as much as – you want him to shoot as much as possible, I think. Yeah, I mean, Adam said it. You want the ball running through him. You want him to get multiple touches, post, reset, kick it out, reset the post. I mean, when he gets it down low, when he has a foot in the paint, I mean, it's over usually, especially if he's single-teamed or what's that called? Single coverage.
One-on-one. Yeah.
12 shots would be a great number, I think, around that number. You see some crazy numbers with Caleb. I mean, I was going through them when I was writing the article with Caleb. I mean, 16 shots, 18 shots. I mean, Caleb shoots an incredibly high number of shots per game, so it's kind of weird to compare it to him. But I think, this is the Roy Williams way. You always want the ball to go into your big man and for the offense to run through him, and you want him to shoot more. If he's in single-digit, you know, shots, I think you're doing something wrong. And I think Hubert said this. I think it was after the Michigan win. Like, we started getting him the ball early and often, multiple times. He's the first, second, third option on this offense. So Hubert gets it. So it's the way it's going to be.
And one more point there, you three didn't mention free throws, which I think is a big part of Armando's game. Armando leads the ACC. He's number one in the ACC in fouls drawn per 40 minutes. So feeding him the ball allows him to get to the foul line as well. He hasn't been an amazing free throw shooter this year. He hasn't, you know, hit all of his free throws, but I think that's a big part of his game as well, drawing fouls, getting to the line, wearing out the other team's defense. I want to bring in this question too. This is a good question here. What's the best way to use Pete Nance now that he's back? It seems like the offense is not as efficient with him on the court. He hit those two early threes earlier this week in the game. Adam, if you're the coach of the Tar Heels, how are you using Pete Nance?
It's good a question. Tough question for me because I've thought about this a lot, and I don't know. I think I like Pete Nance's game. I think Pete Nance is a good player. I think Pete Nance is a useful guy to have out there. And then I think, you know, when Puff is out there, UNC is more athletic. And, you know, I know Jalen Washington is kind of a finesse big, and he's kind of plotting in a way. You know, he's not Giannis by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, I like Jalen Washington's games too. I feel like I mentally sort of am down on Pete Nance. I'm down on Seth Trimble too.
Really?
We were talking about him earlier. Seth Trimble cannot shoot. He's a terrible shooter. Somebody said it in the chat. It's exactly the windup on Seth Trimble. I mean, good God, what is he doing with that thing? But anyway,
between Lebo and Hubert Davis on that staff, I would think that shooting form will be adjusted.
And he's a great athlete. You would think he could figure it out athletically, although Tokoto never did. But anyway, Pete, I do not know what you do with Pete Nance. We thought earlier in the year, you know, one of the many good things about having Pete Nance, in addition to his experience and his basketball intelligence and all that, is that he'll be able to play the five when Armando goes out. Armando will get a blow now, and it won't be like when Brady Manick was trying to play the five last year. Man, y'all have seen it. When he's at the five, these teams go after him. Mm-hmm. I mean, they go right at Pete Nance, you know, offensively, because they don't think that he can guard the other team's five. He couldn't guard Quentin Post the other night. And I think Pete Nance is a great dude. Like, I enjoy talking to him. But I don't know. It's a work in progress there with him, man.
Yeah, he can't guard the big dudes, and he's not athletic enough to guard a stretch four. He is slow. He's got lead feet. And look, I remember he spoke to us on Tuesday, and when he got up, man, he walked out like an old man. He was holding his back. He's hobbling out. And, you know, you shouldn't have those kind of – you shouldn't walk that way until you're in your 30s. He just looked like an old man hobbling out here, and he's 22, 23.
That's how you're walking, Ross? Is that how
you know? When you turn 30, you start getting sore in places you don't remember getting sore in. Remember, 28, the bowels changed too. Things changed there for me. But Pete Nance.
Might have been a juice cleanse.
One more note about Pete Nance too.
Kind of like one more note about the juice cleanse.
One thing you don't really want to mention this, but you kind of have to think about it. I mean, Pete Nance 100% is leaving Chapel Hill once the season's over in April or May or whenever it ends, March. You know that Jalen Washington will probably be around next season. You know Puff will be around next season. Someone like Brady Manick came in last year for 1 year, but he had an elite skill. Obviously, we've talked about this a million times. He was an elite shooter. It 100% made sense to play him as part of that Iron 5 unit. But if you take a guy like Pete Nance and you're halfway through the ACC slate and he's not bringing an elite skill and he's kind of banged up a little bit to begin with, at what point does Hubert Davis kind of take stock of his roster and say, hey, I'd rather go with Puff Johnson at 90% of the play because I know I'm going to be developing Puff for the future versus Pete. You know, and again, like you said, Adam, by all counts, a great locker room guy. I think he would understand something like that. But that's probably a trade-off that Hubert certainly would never articulate something like that, but maybe he would think about it.
That ain't happening.
I was going to say, Hubert Davis is going to play. Who gives him the best chance to win right now?
That is a well-reasoned and thoughtful and logical take, John. But, I mean, Hubert ain't going to do that to a guy that he brought in, like, for 1 year. You know, when UNC got him, he's the missing piece to the championship puzzle. I mean,
when you advertise a show with John Bowman says that Huber should bench Pete Nance. Hot take.
Yeah, I'll clip that and put it on the YouTube.
Yeah, that's good. That was a good little rant there. No, I kind of agree. I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, Pete Nance brings some stuff. He's tall, like Adam said. He can sub in for Baycott. He can do a little rebounding. He needs to score more if he's gonna kind of carry his weight, because otherwise he's a liability on defense. So he's got, you know, hit the two threes. That was great. He's got to chip in on offense if they're gonna have the liability of having him out there on defense. I do think he provides a little leadership. You always see him talking to Caleb and RJ. Dude. Like he's like a father figure out there. Like, come on, guys. Like, come on, guys. Let's huddle up. You know, he's
a great dude. Carolina's best win on their resume right now, I can't say it, is Ohio State. Yeah. They don't win the Ohio State game without Pete Nance.
Yeah. We're banging on him, but he's had some moments. I agree.
I will say this, and this is when you get older. If anybody says this about you, it says more about the person saying it. But I agree with John Kramer on he's just a little too nice on the court sometimes.
You love dogs, don't you, Tommy?
I love.
I follow your Twitter.
I love. I can't say it on here because I don't want to put bad language out there. But I love dogs. We'll just call it that.
Is that Rick Ross or was that really the dude's profile pic?
Oh my God! You know it. You know, it might not be his real name either.
Rick Ross.
That's awesome. We love it. Thank you, John, for joining the show tonight. We love it.
But yeah, I mean,
it looked like Rick Ross.
You know, elbow somebody in the face once or twice, or you know, Brady Manick handled business. He got kicked out of a game doing it. But you know, have a little anger issue in there and go from there. But I think Nance's value is important to this team, and I agree with Adam. Hubert ain't gonna do that.
Nope.
He's not gonna send that guy to the bench because there's good in him. As what's her name said in Star Wars. Anyway.
Look at this, though. I mean, Pete Nance couldn't even bend down to pick up basketballs a couple of days ago. Coach, I'm ready to get back in there. Okay, you're starting. Like, you know what I mean? It's what's going to be.
And even the threes, didn't it kind of look like he was a little stiff on those shots?
We have watched him like we watch football warm-ups for people that are hurt. I mean, I'm telling you, I have seen him a couple nights not been down to pick up a basketball near his feet. Dontrez has been picking up balls for him and giving them to him. I mean, he won't bend down.
Oh, I'm not going to bang on somebody with back spasms because I had them.
I'm just saying, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, you saw the heated back brace he was wearing the other night. That thing was pretty high-fangled, or is it high-fangled? Highfalutin? That thing was pretty fancy, wasn't it, with the light bulbs and everything?
High society? He was wearing that during the game or after the game?
On the bench. When they were on the bench, he would Velcro that thing on.
I got to pick up one of those. Any more questions in the chat? The women are, somebody said in the chat, they're trying to blow it. They were up 10. Now they're up 5.
It's a close game. It's right.
With 3:47 right. left. Yeah, it has gotten back sloppy. Shooting percentages. I would not have bet the over on this one.
Looks like a rock fight.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered everything basketball-wise. Jalen Washington gets hurt in warm-ups.
No, shoot around.
Shoot around
like even worse, maybe.
I mean, unbelievable.
Did he step on a manager's foot or another player's foot? Because that manager would be like, you're done. Anything left, John? We might get out of here a little early.
I've got one stat ahead of the UNC NC State game. I think the key thing to watch, in my expert opinion, free throw attempts. UNC is number one in the conference on free throw attempts over field goal percentage versus the NC State defense, which is last in the conference in allowing free throws. So that's kind of the pivot point for me. That's what I'll be watching on Saturday is can UNC get to the free throw line? I'm expecting they will be able to because NC State gives up a lot of free throws. I also have a hypothetical. I have a hypothetical question for everyone. We've got some time here. I can throw it out there. All right, I have a scenario. Let's say aliens invaded the Earth and they have to play a basketball game. You have to pick 5 basketball players. The only rule is they have to have played for UNC and they're in their current form. So if like you pick Raymond Felton, you get Raymond Felton right now.
Like big Raymond Felton?
Yeah. So that's the kind of the trade-off. Do you go with Walker Kessler at center? Do you go with Armando Bacot at center? Can we pick a starting five for this hypothetical basketball game?
Oh my God.
You should have sent this out early. So we
I have no notes on this. I mean,
Michael Jordan's on the team regardless of what he is.
You want 55-year-old Michael Jordan?
Yep, 100%. I'll guarantee you he'd still whip some of these young guys. All right. Pick somebody, Adam. You're on spot. Ross, you too.
Kobe White.
Mm-hmm. You can Harrison Kobe Barnes, White. Theo Pinson.
Mm-hmm. You can have Cole Anthony.
Yeah, you could have Cole Anthony.
You need who's a big. Who's your big? Tony right Bradley?
Now. Harrison Barnes, I would say, right?
You could
Cam
put
Johnson. Cam Johnson's good.
I think Cam Johnson and Harrison Barnes at the 3 and 4. Someone said Psycho T. That's interesting. How good a shape is Tyler Hansbrough?
Psycho T is 37.
I think he just had knee surgery.
Oh,
he is 37.
What? Hansbrough's 37.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'd throw De'Ron Sharp in there, maybe.
That's a good one, Ross.
Yeah, that's a good. That would probably be my pick over Bacot.
Here are the current player. Here are the current players. Ready? In the NBA, Cole Anthony, Harrison Barnes, Tony Bradley, Reggie Bullock, Danny Green, who's injured, Justin Jackson, Cameron Johnson came back from injury tonight, Walker Kessler, Nasir Little, Theo Pinson, De'Ron Sharp, Kobe White.
I've always
pretty good starting lineup.
Not Sean May. Sean May is not on this team. Sorry, Jake.
Why not, John?
Somebody in the.
Why not, John?
Sean May might not be able to run. I'm not saying anything. The dude was a monster when he was at Carolina.
That's the rules of the thing here.
I would go Cole and Kobe, mm-hmm. and then Harrison Barnes,
Cam Johnson,
and maybe and Cam Johnson, man. And then De'Ron Sharp.
De'Ron Sharp. Yeah, Vince I like Carter's that.
Good in the chat. I mean, he played, 22 years in the NBA?
Yeah, folks got to listen to the rules. They have to be in their current
state. I'm saying.
No, I'm talking about the chat. I agree with you.
Okay. But I'm saying, he could probably make if it's a 12-man roster, he could probably make it. At 40, whatever he is.
I'm having Jordan on the team just for the dogness. and I like Ross's. To be honest, I like Ross's starting lineup. Tony Bradley is still pretty good.
Dude, I do not want Tony Bradley. I take myself over Tony Bradley.
Who was your lineup, Ross?
I said Cole, Kobe, Harrison Barnes, Cam Johnson, and De'Ron Sharp.
Yeah,
that's pretty nice. That's pretty nice.
I got a hot take wild card. What if you pull together the Iron Five? You bring Brady back from Australia.
Yeah, you put Brady him out there the bench.
For one game. I'm saying I want the Iron Five just as it is right now. Thoughts?
You would take them versus the Monstars?
Well, yeah, I know. You probably would want Cam Johnson on there and Harrison Barnes. But the other interesting debate here is big man, because Walker Kessler is in the mix. I think Armando, honestly, is in the mix too. If it's one game.
Walker Kessler's tearing it up in league, or at least at times he does, which is interesting because I don't know. It's a good discussion. Hey, send in your assignments, folks, on the message board thread when we post this story. Send your assignments in there, and I'd be interested to hear Sherelle McMillan's take on this as well. Anything left? Rasheed Wallace can steal ball. Rasheed Wallace would 100% be on my all-time Carolina team. Because that's one of those guys that would dunk on you and tell you about it and yell at your mama after he dunked on you. I love that guy.
There was some game they played against NC State back in the day. I swear he dunked on Todd Fuller 12 times in Reynolds. And Todd Fuller was like a lottery pick. You know, the guy with the crew cut?
No,
I remember him. I swear he dunked every shot he made. And, screamed too. It was wild. Yeah.
Just a tease, for Inside Carolina Live on Saturday. And I'm sorry, I'm pumping my own shows, but George Lynch will be in studio with us. So Dwayne Eason, tune in Inside Carolina Live on the YouTube channel, the same way you're watching this, 10 to 12.
Good job with that, Tommy. You did a great job.
I know
job
you like that segue. It. I should roll by on my segue and say, and Saturday on Inside Carolina Live. But, yeah, George Lynch is joining us in studio for that with Joey Powell. We've got some other guests. Interesting discussion, boys. You got me thinking, though. I need to go on the old video game and create all the Carolina players and see if we can stand
now,
up.
Now, what did aliens have to do with it, John? Do you have some sort of alien fetish?
Let me tell you how I got to that real quick, and then we can end for the night. Ross, you tweeted out the We Are the World video last night. And then I started thinking, who would be in the We Are the World video if you did it right now? So I was thinking, like, okay, what singers would you get if you're still alive? And then
this is
what,
great discussion.
That's what led me to this.
Nice.
I would love to have these type discussions, but folks get mad when we don't talk about. I got an email, and shout out if you're listening to this show. I got an email that said, we need to get right into it. We take too long to get into the show when we start.
What? And
he's like, it's got to be 5 seconds or less, or you lose your audience. And I'm thinking, when we started this show, 5 seconds in, there was 3 people in here. And now there's 160-some. So I think we got it figured out a little bit. Guys, it's been fantastic. Carolina women, up 6. Up 5. Let's get out of here so we can watch the end of North Carolina and Duke. On the Beat Live, it's been that with Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. John Bowman, Ross Martin, Adam Smith. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks, guys.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.